Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring news, music, interviews, and events about the vegan lifestyle. Manifesting a reality of health and wellness and peace and egalitarianism and sustainability. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station nor its management. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. In this episode, we're joined by Dr. Neil Barnard, President of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, an adjunct professor at the George Washington University School of Medicine, and a fellow of the American College of Cardiology. In 2016, Dr. Barnard founded Barnard Medical Center in Washington, D.C., to create a new model that integrates nutrition into conventional medical care. His federally funded diabetes research revolutionized the nutritional approaches to type 2 diabetes. Dr. Barnard has led numerous research studies investigating the effects of diet on diabetes, body weight, hormonal symptoms, and chronic pain, including a groundbreaking study of dietary interventions in type 2 diabetes funded by the National Institute of Health that paved the way for viewing type 2 diabetes as a potentially reversible condition for many patients. Dr. Barnard has authored more than 100 scientific publications and 20 books for medical and lay readers, and is the editor-in-chief of the Nutrition Guide for Clinicians, a textbook made available to all U.S. medical students. As president of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, Dr. Barnard leads programs advocating for preventive medicine, good nutrition, and higher ethical standards in research. His research contributed to the acceptance of plant-based diets in the Dietary Guidelines for Americans. In 2015, he was named a fellow of the American College of Cardiology. In 2016, he founded the Barnard Medical Center in Washington, D.C., as a model for making nutrition a routine part of all medical care. Originally from Fargo, North Dakota, Dr. Barnard received his MD degree at the George Washington University School of Medicine and completed his residency at the same institution. He practiced at St. Vincent's Hospital in New York before returning to Washington to found the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. Thank you very much, Dr. Barnard, for joining us on Vegan Nation. Welcome.
It's great to be with you today.
Well, I am thrilled that you have this conference coming up, the International Conference on Nutrition in Medicine, 13th annual. But before we hear all about that, I'd love to hear some more information about PCRM, Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine.
Sure. For anybody who's new to the Physicians Committee, we got started actually in 1985. I was practicing in my first job as a medical doctor in New York City. And I found myself feeling that in medicine, we do a pretty good job of treating many diseases and so forth, but we don't do such a good job about preventing them. We don't do anything about the heart attack until it comes in the emergency room door. And I thought, well, we know about how to reduce the risk of these things, and we ought to be dealing with that. We ought to put nutrition front and center. And I also wanted to deal with medical ethics issues, particularly the abuse of animals in research and how we can replace that and other similar things. So I set up the Physicians Committee back 40 years ago now, if you can believe that. But we're still going strong. We're doing research studies. We're making huge progress in replacing animals in research. And that's been great to see.
Thank you. Thank you very much to you and your team. And now I'd love to hear the details about the International Conference on Nutrition and Medicine.
Well, we're setting out to sort of make up for a little bit of a gap in medical practice. If you go to the doctor and you say, what's the best medicine for lowering my cholesterol? Your doctor is going to know that right away. But if you say, what are the best diet changes for lowering my cholesterol or preventing heart disease or improving my blood pressure or improving diabetes or whatever, your doctor is going to kind of hem and haw, not be too sure, because they don't get taught these things in medical school. And that's a problem, because it means, number one, that we don't get the right treatment or the best treatment. And number two, we end up loaded up with prescriptions more often than we need to.
Wonderful. And I'm also excited to hear about it, that it is the 13th annual. So let's hear a little bit of the backstory from number one to number 13.
Well, we started off because particular topics were rising to the fore. For example, the effect of foods on the brain, which has been something I've been interested in for many, many years. And it turns out that nutrition plays a huge role in brain health, whether we're talking about improving our mood and dealing with depression, or preventing Alzheimer's disease, which is such an important thing. So we held a conference on that issue alone, followed by conferences devoted to type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and others. So at the International Conference on Nutrition and Medicine, this year it's August 14th through the 16th here in Washington, D.C., when we are at our most sweltering temperatures. We have hundreds of doctors and researchers and nurses and dietitians and lay people too coming to hear about nutrition topics. And this year, one of the big topics is ultra-processed foods. People are trying to avoid them. But what we are going to hear is that many ultra-processed foods are actually good for you. And some are bad, and people have to know the difference. So Michael Greger will be here, Christopher Gardner from Stanford will be here, Dr. Hanna Kaliova and I will be discussing that. We'll also be talking about the new research on Alzheimer's and how nutrition can help. Dr. Dean Ornish will be here talking about that. Dr. Christy Funk will talk about breast cancer prevention. For men, we'll talk about prostate cancer prevention. And it's just going to be a great time. But I got to tell you, Marlene, what people remember sometimes the most is the food. Every meal is delicious, wonderful, colorful, but also 100% plant-based. There's not a trace of cheese or meat in there anywhere, and people absolutely love it. They want the recipes and so forth. So it's the International Conference on Nutrition in Medicine, Washington, D.C., August 14th through 16th.
That's great to hear. Thank you. I think it is so important because in the vegan community, I follow a lot of the vegan activists who are the street activists, and I give them so much credit. Their hearts are so big in that they want to go out and help people to become vegan. And most of them, the activists, really want to focus just on the ethics of just loving kindness and justice and fairness. Yet, when they speak to the average person, and a lot of these activists are in city squares, especially where there's a lot of tourists, so they're reaching people from all walks of life. Most of the people, all ages, keep coming back with that the general public believes that they must consume the flesh and secretions of animals to survive and thrive. Could you talk a little bit about that, please?
Yeah, you bet. I know exactly what you mean. A great many people imagine that you need meat for protein or you need milk for calcium or something like that. And they don't realize that these nutrients come from much healthier sources in plants. And Harvard researchers, I want to give them credit for a study they did about 10 years ago, where the researchers from Harvard School of Public Health pulled together more than 100,000 participants, and they showed that if you're getting protein from, say, beef, if instead you were to get protein from plant sources, it's in beans and vegetables and grains, for example, if you got your protein from plant sources, your mortality, your risk of dying at any given time period would be reduced dramatically. Now, you might say, well, of course, you're not eating cholesterol because there's no cholesterol in plants. That's true. There's no animal fat in plants. That's true, too. But even the protein itself in plants ends up being healthier and less risk related to disease compared to the protein in animals. So the researchers at Harvard showed, well, it's not just if you replace beef with healthier plant foods, but if you, instead of having dairy products, or instead of having eggs, or instead of having fish, if you replace these things with healthier plant products, your risk of dying of anything during any given time period goes way down. Our team has put this to the test for specific issues. People who want to lose weight, we use a completely vegan diet, which is a new idea for some people, but then they learn, oh, gee, this is actually pretty easy. Instead of cow's milk on my cereal, I'll try almond milk or soy milk or rice milk or hemp milk or whatever it is. They always find one they like. Oh, this is good and this helps. Or instead of ground beef on my spaghetti, I'll put a tomato sauce or a spicy tomato sauce or something like that. Or, you know, well, instead of the meat taco, I'll have the bean burrito. Hold the cheese. They find the things they like. We found that diabetes improves often dramatically. Sometimes it even goes away. Cholesterol levels fall, blood pressures fall. People feel like they are living again. And it's the most wonderful thing to feel. Now, obviously, for many people, the whole issue is they just want to knock off 40 pounds or 50 pounds, and they can do that. And that's great. But the benefits go far beyond that.
Thank you, Dr. Barnard. And I also appreciate the many books that you have written.
So my most recent book is called The Power Foods Diet. And I got to tell you, it has been my funnest one ever, because we talk about foods that you bring into your diet. The more you bring them into your diet, the more weight you lose. And it has been so fun to see people make a weight loss lasagna, for example.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. And again, thanks to you and your team and your upcoming conference and your many speakers. Again, it was like 25 speakers, I think. Is that correct?
Oh, it's something like that. Yeah. And many, many hundreds of participants. Sure. And stick around for the food.
Yes. I saw that you have the Friday night dinner for those who just want to come for the Friday night dinner.
Yeah, you bet. I mean, that's terrific. We're going to be giving an award. The Benjamin Spock Award for Compassion in Medicine is going to be awarded. Benjamin Spock was a great supporter of ours way back when. People remember the America's baby doctor. He changed his diet late in life and became quite a good friend to us. And now that he's passed on, we have an award in his name.
Beautiful. Thank you. So in addition to hearing about the International Conference on Nutrition and Medicine, I would like to hear some of the other projects by PCRM, especially involving federal agencies and changes. Could you please share some of those details?
Sure, you bet. For people who have a heart for animals, we have been working hard with NIH, the National Institutes of Health, and also FDA and the EPA to move away from the use of animals in research and testing. And what they have all found is that there are really terrific ways of studying diseases and studying cures without using animals and using methods that are better. We here at the Physicians Committee do our own research. We have been doing this since the 1990s and found that when we study human beings, I'm talking about volunteers who say, I want to be part of a research study. They volunteer and let's say they have diabetes. We're doing a study now in partnership with Yale where people with diabetes come in, we change their diets, and our friends at Yale will use a magnetic resonance spectroscopy machine to look at the changes within their bodies, which are astounding to see when they adopt a low-fat vegan diet. We can see why they're losing weight. We can see the fat coming out of their muscle and liver cells so that their insulin resistance goes away. And we discover their insulin sensitivity improving. And the point I'm making is that this is research that's immediately applicable, but we're not using rats or dogs or other animals to study. We can study human beings ethically, safely, but the results are immediately applicable to clinical care. And it was in these studies back now about 25 years ago that I first saw diabetes going away, which I had thought was impossible. But we now see this routinely. And of course, this doesn't happen if people don't change their diets pretty well. But we found ways to do exactly that. We also managed to eliminate all use of animals in every medical school curriculum. So if you go to Harvard Medical School or Stanford Medical School or Duke, they will not even offer an animal laboratory for you anymore. You'll get your MD degree without ever touching an animal, which is a great step toward compassion. We also have educational programs. Every October, we promote breast cancer prevention, and we do that by having rallies all across the United States and in other countries too, where people get together and they bang the drum for breast cancer prevention. What they really do is we invite all the high schools to have their marching bands come, and they make so much noise that you can't miss the message. And then we hand out information about diet changes and other lifestyle changes that can reduce breast cancer risk. So these are just a few of the things that we're doing here. I might mention one more. Every Tuesday, 12 o'clock Eastern time, the National Diabetes Program has a free one-hour support group, or you can call it a class, but it's the National Diabetes Program. If you can go to our website, pcrm.org, and just do a little search for National Diabetes Program, and the link is right there.
We're listening to Dr. Neil Barnard, founder of Barnard Medical Center and also the president of Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. Thank you for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow, in Worcester, Massachusetts. We're listening to the music of Carbon Works, Dr. Neil Barnard's band. This is Athena. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue our conversation with Dr. Neil Barnard. Listening to Athena by Carbon Works. Neil Barnard's Beat. Welcome back from the break. You're tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena, Massachusetts. We're joined by Dr. Neil Barnard, author of The Power Foods Diet. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. Like to hear some information about your work in changing the school lunch programs.
Yeah, we have quite a burden ahead of us dealing with this because it's all encoded in law. The law talks about the kinds of foods that are in front of kids. And this is an issue because the kids in their typical schools, I mean, they're not getting a healthy plant-based luncheon usually. They're getting a hunk of meat and some cheese, pizza, and chicken nuggets, and that kind of thing. And kids are more overweight than they have ever been in American history. We're having children develop the signs of type 2 diabetes before they get their high school diplomas. We have children getting artery disease. I'm talking about the beginnings of heart disease when they are still adolescents or even younger than that. There is no way we're going to change that unless children have a chance to taste healthier foods, to learn the ones that they like, to set a pathway toward really having those foods be front and center all their lives. And when they eat chicken nuggets and bacon and sausage and things for breakfast, they're learning all the wrong tastes. And then after the heart attacks start in midlife, they think, well, I'm too old to change. We need to change early. So in Congress now, there is unfortunately a movement in the wrong direction. For example, there's a bill. It's putting milk, high fat milk, back in school lunches. It's been gone there, but the dairy industry wants to sell high fat milk to kids so they can make more money. It's called the Whole Milk for Healthy Kids Act, one of these kind of dishonestly labeled bills. And we are trying to stop that bill. And we're trying to push instead for more vegetables, fruits, whole grains, beans, and plant-based main dishes to be served to children so that they can get used to those foods, make them part of their routines.
Thank you. Could you please also discuss a little bit about the plant-based milks, such as soy, almond, hemp, rice, cashew? I hear some resistance to soy milk, and so I'd like to hear from you on that.
Yeah, well, soy milk is great. It's high in protein. It's got all the nutrients that we need, and women who consume the most soy milk have about 30% less breast cancer risk compared to women who don't consume it. I'm talking about soy products in general. And men who consume more soy products, whether it's edamame or miso soup or soy milk or soy sausage, they have less cancer risk too. I'm glad you asked about this because many people they still subscribe to a sort of a 1980s urban myth that the idea is that soy somehow causes cancer. And the way this got started was an unfortunate mistake. Soy products, the soybean, has natural isoflavones. These are natural compounds in the soy. And these isoflavones in a laboratory, if you test, they actually adhere to estrogen receptors. That freaked the researchers out. It made them think, well, wait a minute, if these isoflavones in soy attach to estrogen receptors in your body, that must cause cancer. Well, the research turned out that it was the opposite, that somehow soy was reducing cancer risk. And we now know that there are different kinds of estrogen receptors, and one is called estrogen receptor alpha, and estradiol that your body makes will attach to that one, and that increases cancer risk. But the soybeans, the soy isoflavones, attach to a different estrogen receptor called estrogen receptor beta. And it's the brake on cancer. It reduces cancer risk. So we are trying to help people to understand that soy is your friend. If you are having cow's milk, that increases the risk of breast cancer. If you switch to soy milk, it reduces your risk. So we should be splashing that on our cereal and having kids enjoy soy milk. Now, you don't have to have it. You could have almond milk or as you said, hemp milk or rice milk. There's an oat milk. There's a million kinds.
Thank you, Dr. Barnard. We're coming to a close in the interview for today. Could you please give a recap of the International Conference on Nutrition in Medicine?
You bet. The International Conference on Nutrition and Medicine, it's in Washington, August 14th through 16th, and we will talk all about foods and health. The main target audience is doctors and people who work with patients, but we have researchers and medical students and the lay public coming too. And it's just grown year by year by year by year. And as you said, this is the latest, and it's wonderful to see so many doctors coming around.
Has it always been in Washington, D.C., from the first one to now the 13th Annual International Conference on Nutrition and Medicine?
It sure has, you bet.
That's great. Well, now I'm very excited to hear about your beautiful, beautiful music with Carbon Works.
Sure. I have to say that I'm a doctor, you know, that's what I do. But ever since I was a little kid, my parents made all their kids study music. They felt that was part of being a well-rounded person. So I studied cello and piano and guitar and so forth. So anyhow, I had bands all the way through medical school and residency. And the current band is called Carbon Works, as if, you know, we are made of carbon. And these are our works, Carbon Works. And we have a website, carbonworksmusic.com. Or if you could go on YouTube and put in Carbon Works, and you will see the band's website with lots and lots of videos and so forth. But Marlene, if you don't mind, I would like to share with you a song that I wrote a few years back. And I want to share an experience from my own life. When I was a little boy, about age 4 or 5, I remember that my mother was putting my little brother to bed, and David was younger than I was. And mom tucked him into bed and she said, "Now, David, nighty night, sleep tight, and don't let the bed bugs bite." Well, the poor boy was imagining bed bugs and insects that were going to bite him, and he couldn't sleep at all. And I found myself thinking, gee, we say terrible things to kids. We say to kids, you know, the three blind mice cut off their tails with a carving knife. Or Jack and Jill went up the hill and then they came down and Jack ended up having a neurological damage as he fell down. Or, you know, in French, there's a song, Alouette, where you're plucking this live bird. And I think, why do we say such mean things to kids? And I thought, I'm going to write a song that kids are going to like. And we're going to put a video with it that shows animals that are yawning and going to sleep so that, you know, during these kind of anxiety-ridden times, you've got something that everybody's going to really like. And we recorded it in English. But then our musicians include some wonderful French speakers as well. And so we did it also in French. And one of the nicest messages I got, when people looked on the YouTube version, it's called a lullaby. And in French, it's called tout ira bien, which means everything is going to be okay, basically. Everything will be fine. Tout ira bien. You'll see it there. There was a comment from a woman who said, "My 4-year-old son, every night before bed, he watches that version in English. And then he watches it again in French. and he knows the names of all the musicians, and then he can sleep. And I have to tell you, Marlene, I just thought, okay, my life just had meaning if this little boy could think this is going to make all the worries in my little four-year-old world go away. So in English, I just call it lullaby, and I hope you'll share it with listeners, and I hope people enjoy it.
Close your eyes.
Yeah, to always see.
Close your eyes.
Thank you very much, Dr. Barnard, for joining us on Vegan Nation. You are greatly appreciated.
Well, right back at you, Marlene. Thank you for spreading the good word.
Thank you. Much thanks to our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. Please join us again next week at the same time. Thank you, Carbon Works. This is Marlene in Massachusetts, wishing you a beautiful, lovely, peaceful day. To all sentient life.